Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be with all of you this morning. Glad to be back out in God's house. I'm going to continue on with my series this morning about, it's called Concerning the Seven Deadly Sins. And before I get started, I want to play you a little video. Hopefully you'll like this. You want to hit the lights, please, and we'll play this if they can. I think you've probably have seen this probably at some time in your life. Maybe. Anyway, has anybody seen that before? I have. So it goes without saying that I'm going to be talking about lying this morning and deceitfulness. That's one of the seven deadly sins. And before I get down to my scripture, I'm going to be over. My main scripture is going to be found in Proverbs, the sixth chapter. I've read this the last couple of weeks. And also I'm going to be in Colossians, the third chapter. So you can turn there and just hold those pages a little bit. I didn't realize this, but on average, I don't know if you know this or not, but on average, they say that a person will lie 25 times a day. On average. I'm not talking about, this is just average across what this was taken in the United States. 25 times a day. And what I've come to find out is we live in a society where lying is a second language. We really do. Now, you may be sitting here in church this morning and say, well, what's, not, listen, I'm painting with a pretty broad brush right at the moment, but I'll get it down here closer just a little bit. If you go to the internet and you Google information about lying, you'll get all kind of opinions of what it is. I'm just telling you. Whether or not you should lie about something, whether or not you shouldn't lie about something, and whether or not you get caught, how to take care of that, what a lie is. Is it okay to tell a lie? Isn't it not okay to tell a lie? Lying, and I'm going to put this statement out there, lying is a coward's way out. Can I have an amen? Amen. Lying is a coward's way out of something. Now get this. According to a poll taken with people, so-called Christians, and people going to church, this was just a while back, who call themselves Christians, you wouldn't consider attending a dirty movie. They asked these questions. No one would consider doing that. But they didn't have a second thought about misleading someone if it kept the peace. Another thing, this is for Christian women. And in that same poll, some of these same women were fanatical about dressing modestly. I say amen to that. Dressing modestly. But yet thought nothing about manipulation and situations using untruth. That's a poll taking amongst church-going people. And the majority of these surveyed, now listen to this, they lied and would do it again to keep from hurting someone's feelings. This is church-going people now. Now listen to this. But get this, they would be hurt if they were lied to themselves. Now take that and let that soak in for a little bit. Just think about that. Now, this is something that I found out down through time. Spouses lie to one another in the name of keeping peace. Parents will lie to their children. Employers will lie to the employee. Advertisements lie to sell products. Politicians, now you find it's hard to believe, lie to spin things. But it doesn't matter what you and I may think about what they're lying about. What only matters is what the Word of God says. That's all that matters. You can sit here this morning and you can try to make rationales all that you want about whether it's justified to lie about anything. But I'm telling you, the Word of God does not bear that out. And it goes on. In Exodus 20:16, it was so important that God said this, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It was a Ten Commandment about lying. And yes, I believe God takes lying very seriously. Very seriously. Mark Twain once said this. I'm not Mark Twain wasn't an evangelist by no means. But Mark Twain once said this, a lie can travel halfway around the world before the truth even starts putting on its shoes. And that is the truth. It happens that way so many times. Now, I want to ask everybody in this building this morning, I'm asking you, I'm talking directly to everybody in this church this morning, before I get into the meat of the sermon, do you think of yourself as an honest person? You don't have to raise your hands. I just want you to think about this. Or do you have to does somebody have to question whether or not you were genuine whenever somebody asks you a question? Do you have a reputation? Maybe you have I don't think anybody in here that I know of has a reputation as a liar. Or do people know if what you say is true? Listen, is your word as good as your signature this morning? I'm asking everybody in here this morning. Do you do what you say you will do? Do you do that? Someone's asked you to do something and you say that you're going to do it to the best of your ability, will you do what you are asked to do? Do you tell the truth when it may cost you something? I'm talking to everybody in this church here this morning. Would you tell the truth even if it was going to cost you your marriage? Even if it's going to cost you your job? Even if it was going to cost you something in this life? Would you tell the truth no matter what? Okay, let's stand this morning. Let's turn over to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, if you don't care with me, please. Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 16. These 6 things doeth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I want you to notice something about this verse of the scripture. 2 times lying is mentioned in there. 2 times. You don't think God takes things seriously. He takes that seriously. Then over in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Read it again. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise you, Father, for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do for us, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning that you would be with this service. Lord, open the hearts that are here this morning, Lord. And Father, I just praise you for your mercy and grace. I pray, Father, for the anointing this morning. And Lord, the Father, that it would reach out and Father, that it would touch hearts the way that it should. And we will ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. So, what I've read this morning, I do believe God takes lying very seriously. That's why I've got this is my 5th in a series of this, of 7 deadly sins. People will tell a lie without any remorse. They'll tell a lie without any remorse or even sense of regret nowadays. And the only regret that they may have is that they got caught. That's the only remorse that they got. And listen, in 1 Timothy 4:2, it says this, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Now, if you see that today and you see what's going on in the world today, you understand why it is. Because we are living in the last days where people think that lying is just like a second language and it's okay to do what you want it to. And let's go ahead and do it because you know what? Their consciences have been seared to it. Constantly lying. Listen, the most recent example that happened, and this just happened within probably the last couple of weeks, and you know the conflict that's going on over in Israel, was whenever they claimed that there had been a missile that had hit a hospital over there, killing 500 people, a lot of them women and children. You remember that? Well, the mainstream media, a lot of them knew that that was not true, but they spread it anyway because they wanted to hurt Israel. Well, when the intelligence come out about it, hear what it was. Hamas is the one that sent the rocket, And it hit there by accident, by the way. They didn't intend to send it there, but it hit the hospital by accident, and it didn't kill 500. It killed 50, which is a loss of life, don't get me wrong. But it killed 50, and that's what happened. And if you look at it today, they still do not apologize for what's happened because they didn't care. They said, well, that's just the way war is, and some of that stuff can get down. No, they knew better before they said it. See, lies happen, and the trouble of it is, people will believe those lies. That's right. We live in a society today. I'll tell you a little story that involves myself and Tink. This involves us. And we were coming down from the mall one time. As we were coming down from the mall. This has been years ago. Our kids were young. And as we come down from the mall, any of you know where the Texas Roadhouse is right now? We're setting out. Well, in that little S turn there one time, there used to be a phone booth right there. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, but this happened years ago. There was a phone booth there. We come down through there, and there was somebody sitting at the phone booth that we knew. This is the old phone booth, and they were talking on the phone in their car. We had recognized their car. We never thought a thing of it, never thought one thing of it. But they were the friends. They were people that we knew. So we went to their house just a little bit later. I think it was that week. And when we went to the house, I just happened to mention to the guy's wife, I said, well, I seen him up there on the phone booth up there just the other day. I was, you know, just out of talking, trying to make conversation, because he wasn't there at the time. And immediately her ear said, what? I said, yeah. I said, well, and I knew right then there was trouble. I knew right then. And we ended up, he wasn't even supposed to be there. He was supposed to be someplace else. And what ended up happening in the end was, yes, he was there. He was talking to his girlfriend. They ended up getting a divorce. That happened to us. This is why I say deceitfulness and lying. He had lied and said where he was going to be someplace else. It happens. And I'm telling you, see what it did? It ended up in a divorce. It's what it ended up doing. The Bible plainly states, be sure that your sins will find you out. That's what the Bible says. Be sure that your sins will find you out. So you can plainly see from the scripture, God hates lying. He hates it. So what about Christians? What about us in Christianity whenever it comes to us, whenever we're dealing with righteousness, whenever we're dealing with lying? In Proverbs 13:5, it tells us this. A righteous man hateth lying. That's what it says. If you and I are Christians, and are, we should hate lying just as much as God hates lying, especially whenever something is involved, especially whenever we know that somebody is lying. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. I'm going to say you something right now, and I want you to understand this. If anyone tells you, and I don't care if it is a preacher, I don't care if it's a Sunday school teacher, I don't care if it's a Christian brother or sister, tells you that lying's okay, just as long as it keeps peace in the family, they are wrong. They are lying to you, and they are not to be trusted. I don't care who it is. I don't care. Listen. Focus on the family, and I read this the other day, and I read this article. And what it said, there was a guy in there by the name of Greg Smalley. And what it was, he was talking to a friend of his. He was just having a casual conversation with a friend of his. And his friend come across something that he never would have believed in his life. His friend told him that he had had an affair many, many years ago, and that he had never told his wife. And he told, and this Smalley looked at him and said, and why not? He said, well, because he said, I don't want this to destroy my marriage. I don't want to destroy it right now. And he said, and Smiley told him, he said, listen, he said, you are doing wrong. He said, you were a Christian back then, and you were claiming to be a Christian, and you're saying that you never told her about that? He said, you're lying, and you've been deceitful. He said, you took wedding vows that stayed to this, that you would be true and faithful. You would be true and faithful. And the man said, well, I just can't do it. And he said that he walked away from it. He never knew if that man ever did that or not. He never did find out if that man ever told the truth or not. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let no one ever deceive you into believe that there's no way that you should not tell the truth in a situation, because you need to tell the truth. And I don't care, and I'm going to be blunt with you, I don't care if it was 100 years ago. If you're lying, you're lying. And God's not the father of lies. My Bible tells me that the devil is the father of lies. Who is your father? Who is your father? Listen, the biggest lie that's ever been perpetuated by the devil is what they don't know won't hurt them. That is the biggest lie that's ever been done. But not just infidelity. You know what? That's between you and God. But also it's also between you and your spouse. And that is the thing that needs to be taken care of. If they tell you to lie to save a relationship, they're lying to you, and it should not be done that way. They do not care about your soul. They do not care about anything, because my Bible tells me, Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, fear not which not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the one that you should fear. That's the one that you should fear. If you're standing here this morning, if you're sitting here this morning, or anybody in the sound of my voice, and you're afraid to tell the truth because of what man's going to do, you are dead wrong. You're dead wrong, because the Bible's saying, do not fear what man's going to do. You better fear what God's going to do. Because if you die and you go out of this world with a lie in your heart, and I'm not just talking about infidelity, I'm talking about all kinds of things. If you go out of this world like that, I'm telling you, I would not want to stand before a just God like that. According to the Bible, if you think that is who's... Listen, in John 8:44-45, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I will tell you the truth, and ye believe me not. A true friend, or someone who truly loves you, will tell you the truth, even when it's hard. Can I have an amen? Even when it may cost them. Being honest is not easy. Can I say that? If you're going to be honest, it's not easy. In some circumstances, it requires courage, and it requires strength to be honest. Listen, that was a funny video that I played there of Abraham Lincoln, right? Honest Abe and all that question. But you know what, brother said, there are times in our life we are not completely honest with everybody around us sometimes. I think I said this one time before. I think maybe most of you remember it in here. How many of you have been asked how you feel? How many of you have been asked how you feel in the day? And how many of you just shook your head and said, I feel fine, when you totally did not feel fine? Am I right? We've all done it. I've tried to learn for myself. If somebody asks me how I'm doing, I try not to say just fine right off the top of my head now. I try not to say that. Not to get into all the nuances, not to try to get into how you truly feel. But listen, you can say, listen, well, you know what? I'm doing okay. Me and the Lord's doing all right. And that's what I try. Listen. I'm not fine some days. I've got arthritis. I'm aching sometimes. I've got other conditions that I'm afflicted with sometimes. I'm not fine every day. But for me to stand up and say, everybody asked me to say, oh, I'm fine, and just go with my business, brother said, that's not right. That's not right. It's just not. And I know you don't want to hear how my foot hurts. I know you don't want to hear that stuff. But I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, there's different ways to handle things. Being honest is not easy. Proverbs 27:5-6, puts it this way. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The Bible's definition of lying is this. Anything devoid of the truth, anything that distorts the truth. That's the Bible's definition. If you go back and you take it down to the Strong's, that's the total definition of what lying is. And I'll say this, there's no such thing as a little white lie. There's no such thing. Don't let the devil deceive you on that. There's no such thing as a little white lie or half-truths. The world may use these terms, but can I tell you something? That's not the Bible. So, and I'm going to get into some scripture to back me up on this stuff. In Acts 5, beginning with verse 1, and you all know this story very well. It's about Ananias and Sapphira. Listen, but there was a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? You know what was going on then? There were people that were selling everything they had and giving it all to the church, to get the word out there back in that day. Well, Ananias and Sapphira had seen this, and they seen what kind of praise these people were getting, so they thought, okay, what we'll do is we'll sell our land, but when we sell it, we're going to keep a little bit part back, but we're going to tell them that we've given everything. And that's how this is what this is about. And to keep back part of the price. And while it remained, was it not thine own? It was yours. All you had told us was, we're going to give you half of it. We're going to keep half. But he didn't do it that way. And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? What hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all those that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, that's bad enough. But now, here comes the second part of it. And as it was about the space of 3 hours after then, when his wife, not knowing what was done, come in, and Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell down she straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. You see, all would have been fine if they had not lied, but not only lied to Peter and them. Peter and them, it wasn't the ones that you had to worry about lying to. They lied with the Holy Ghost. They lied to the Holy Ghost and they lied to God. And they fell down dead and God took them out of here. You see, that's all they had. I want to say something that's controversial here this morning, maybe to some of you. But I want you to understand this. I'm not painting with a broad brush here on everybody, because I understand there are people that get sick in churches and that are good Christian people that have never sinned. They get sick, and that's just something that happens. At just God, it's just whatever it is, that's what happens. But I'm going to read something to you over in Micah. It's Micah 6, 12, and 13. Well, sometimes we'll do the 13th verse, and here's what we say. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. How many of you heard that scripture before? How many of you heard that? That scripture is sometimes what people will put out there to make it. Anybody that gets sick, that's the reason why, because there was sin in their life, maybe secret sin. But that's not always the case. So I backed up and I got verse 12, and I wanted to read this to you with it. For the rich men therefore are full of violence, and the inhabitants, now this is the part, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouths. And then it, therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee and making thee desolate because of thy sins. That's what it says there in those two verses. Psalms 5:6. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasings or speak lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Folks, I'm not saying that this goes to everybody, but can I tell you something this morning? I believe God's word, and I believe there are times that God will make people sick or allow people to get sick because he wants to get their attention. He wants to get their attention because maybe it's something that's going on in their lives or something that has went on in their lives. And it has to deal with deceitfulness, and it has to deal with lying. So tell me, how serious does God take lying and deceitfulness? How serious does he take it? Sounds to me like he takes it pretty seriously. God will always call a spade a spade. In Revelation 21:8, it says this: "But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars." All liars, says this, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's how serious God takes it. He didn't say, well, you're okay if you tell a little half-truth. You're okay if you do this over here. You're okay if you do that. He said, all liars. All liars. I think he takes it pretty serious. Someone who is lying, and this is scriptural, someone who is lying will always throw it back on you, by the way. Did you know that? They will bring up something about you, something about what you've done, or try to blame you for their actions. How do I know that? Well, most psychologists will tell you it's called shifting the blame. But in the Bible, we go back to Genesis and we find that. Because it's the same old thing where this started back here with Satan in the Garden of Eden. And it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die." This was the half-truth. And then in 3:13 it said, "And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So what she did was, she put the blame on the serpent. So what's the man do? As any good man would do, he put the blame on the woman. That is what's called shifting the blame. That's why I say that I can prove that a liar will always try to shift the blame maybe back to you. They may get irritated. They may get all this kind of stuff. If they're lying to you, that's what's going to happen. It's called the blame game. And it said in Genesis 3:12, "And the man said, the woman whom thou givest with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Someone who is lying will do this a lot. Deception, we deceive when we are misleading someone. "And as it is writ, with all sins, the trouble lies within." Listen, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth, and their inward part is wicked." It's a heart thing, guys. It's a heart thing. It always will be a heart thing. It's those things that, you know what? It's right within our hearts. "For those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemies." An individual that will lie to you has a heart issue. Absolutely. Sometimes someone who is lying will get agitated. How do you know that? Well, the Bible talks about that too. Over in Genesis 4:8-9. "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain," why did God say unto Cain, where is thy brother? God knew. He wanted to hear the response, and he got it. "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" You see, he got agitated at God because God asked him a question. Where's your brother at? And immediately, he got agitated at God. He got agitated at him. They will try to turn it around and make it out like you're the crazy one or that you're the insecure one. That's what liars will do. That's what they'll do. Normally, if someone is telling the truth, this is how you'll get a response out of them. They will reassure you of their innocence, and they will not get defensive. That's how you can tell. That's how you can tell if someone's lying to you. We did a thing, and I tell people this because we did it up at work here a while back. We had to go and look at a video, and I think I told you all this before. But it was on how to look at lying, how to spot lying in someone. And we went out there, and I looked at that video, and I said, "Man, alive, you got to do this, you got to do that." And there's no way that everybody can do one thing of that at one time. You got to look at their facial expressions. You got to look at this. You got to look at that. But no, they said the main thing is if someone gets defensive with you and they get mad and try to turn things back at you, then you know. Then you got a good clue. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit is he that taketh the city. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Lying hurts not only the one that's telling the lie and the one that's lied to. Listen, you remember the story of Ahab and Nahar? About the vineyard. You remember the story? And how that they come up with a plan and they told them, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to tell a lie on Nahar. And what it is, they're going to say that he blasphemed God. And we're going to do this and that. And whenever we do that, I'll tell you what, we're going to take him out and stone him. Then you can have that. Jezebel said, then you can have that land. You see, lying not only hurts it, but it can also be deadly to people. I'm here to tell you this morning, lying is one of those things that God abhors. He hates it. And like I said, he mentioned it twice over there in Proverbs 6. I'm going to leave with this same story. That same story I told you earlier about that guy that was on the phone. When they sat down with they had two boys. They actually had more than that, but the girls were a little bit older. But the boys were younger. And whenever they sat down, they set them in a room. And the mom and dad come in and told them two boys, these two young boys, choose who you're going to stay with. Me or him. Told them two young boys. And there those boys were crying. Just their tears, just coming down. They could not make the decision. And they couldn't choose because they wanted them both. You know what I mean? They stayed with their mother. But what happened was that the one boy, he to this day hates his dad to no end. His dad just passed away. He has never had nothing to do with him from that day forth. I'm telling you, lying hurts. Deceitfulness hurts. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't know anybody's heart in here this morning. I don't. And God has been pressing upon me this series, and I've got two more, Lord willing, that I'll go over. But I want to say to you this morning, if God is dealing with you this morning about something in your life that needs to be taken care of, today is the day to do it. Amen. This morning, right now. Don't wait till you leave this church and drive down the road. There's too many people I know of that have accidents every week and never, you read about them all the time in the paper. They have accidents, maybe they get up to go to work, never make it home. I've told this story many a time, but Danny Jeffrey's dad was a preacher. And he stepped down out of the pulpit after he'd done preaching to hit a cassette tape that was playing, because he always recorded his sermons. And as he hit it, he died of a heart attack right there in the church. There's no guarantee that anyone will make it home. I'm not trying to scare you into. I'm just trying to give you facts. We're not guaranteed another breath in these bodies. But if there's something here this morning that needs to be taken care of, come up here and let's pray. Let's pray. Let the good Lord, let God and the Holy Spirit deal with you. And if he's dealing with you, come to this altar this morning. Come.